Last time on the problems with Canada. Canada's political system wasn't built for fairness. It was built for control. In our last episode, we exposed how the Westminster system ensures that real power stays in Ottawa, not with the provinces or the people. We showed how the Governor General, the courts, and unelected bureaucrats protect the federal government, ensuring no real decentralization can take place. But even if Canadians wanted to change the system, could they? In this episode, we uncover how elections, the Senate, the courts, and the media work together to keep power exactly where Ottawa wants it. Canadians are told their elections are free and fair, that every vote counts. But the truth is, the system was built to ensure that power stays in the hands of the political elite, and that some votes are worth far more than others. It starts with first past the post. Unlike proportional systems that represent the will of the majority, Canada's first past the post model allows a party to take complete control of government without winning most of the votes. In 2015, Justin Trudeau's Liberals won a landslide majority with just 39% of the popular vote. That means 61% of Canadians didn't choose his government, yet they were forced to live under it for years. And where do these votes come from? Ontario and Quebec. These two provinces alone hold 199 of Canada's 338 seats. That means they decide every election, every time. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba? Just 62 combined. The West could vote as a bloc and still be outnumbered by Ontario alone. Political parties know this. That's why federal campaigns aren't fought in Alberta, Saskatchewan, or the Maritimes. They're fought in the Greater Toronto Area, in Montreal, in the swing ridings of suburban Ontario, because that's where elections are won or lost. In some elections, the outcome is decided before the votes in Western Canada have even been counted. The Prime Minister is effectively chosen by Ontario and Quebec, while the rest of the country is left with no real say. In 2015, Justin Trudeau promised to reform this system, admitting that first past the post distorts democracy. But once in power, he abandoned that promise. Why? Because it benefited him. Because any system that gives Ottawa control will always be protected by the people who profit from it. But it doesn't stop at elections. Canada's Senate, the so-called Chamber of Sober Second Thought, was meant to provide regional balance. Instead, it's another tool to ensure Ottawa remains in control. Ontario and Quebec hold 48 of the 105 Senate seats, nearly half the chamber. Meanwhile, Alberta and British Columbia, provinces that fuel much of Canada's economy, Saskatchewan and Manitoba, hold just 6 seats each. This isn't just an oversight, it's a design choice to ensure real power stays in the East. Unlike elected senators in other democracies, Canada's senators aren't chosen by the people. They're appointed, hand-picked by the Prime Minister. That means they owe their jobs, their six-figure salaries, and their lifetime pensions to the very government they're supposed to check. How often do you think they challenge the status quo? For decades, the Senate has been a dumping ground for party loyalists, fundraisers, and failed candidates. It's not about merit. It's about patronage. And once they're in for life with no accountability to the people. The Senate was meant to be a check on federal power. Instead, it has become an extension of it, a rubber stamp, a holding tank for political elites who never have to face the people they claim to represent. So what happens when provinces push back, when they try to exercise their autonomy? That's when the courts step in, another unelected institution used to keep power in Ottawa's hands. Over and over again, Supreme Court rulings have reinforced federal control at the expense of provincial sovereignty. Whether it's resource management, gun laws, or carbon taxes, the message is always the same. Ottawa decides, and the provinces fall in line. One of the most blatant examples? The 2021 ruling on the carbon tax. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario challenged Ottawa's ability to impose a national carbon tax, arguing that taxation should be a provincial matter. But the Supreme Court disagreed. It ruled that the carbon tax was constitutional under the Peace, Order, and Good Government Clause, a vague and outdated justification that Ottawa uses whenever it wants to expand its control. And when Alberta passed its Sovereignty Act in 2022, giving itself the power to refuse federal overreach, legal experts immediately predicted the Supreme Court would strike it down. Because that's what they always do. It's not about the law, it's about keeping provinces in their place. Supreme Court justices aren't chosen by the people, they're appointed by the Prime Minister. That means every judge on the highest court in the land owes their career to the very government they're supposed to hold accountable. Justin Trudeau has appointed 5 of the current Supreme Court justices. That means a majority of the court now reflects the interests of one Prime Minister, ensuring that any legal challenge to federal authority faces an uphill battle. A free press is supposed to challenge authority, expose corruption, and hold the government accountable. But in Canada, the media doesn't act as a watchdog, it acts as a mouthpiece. And that's because the federal government isn't just influencing the news, it's funding it. Since 2019, the federal government has handed out over $600 million in taxpayer-funded subsidies to media companies across Canada. Newspapers, online publications, broadcasters, nearly every major news outlet now relies on government money to survive. And when your paycheck comes from Ottawa, how independent can your reporting really be? The CBC, Canada's state broadcaster, receives $1.2 billion a year directly from the federal government. That's not journalism, that's propaganda. Independent media voices? Demonized, censored, or shut down? When the Rebel and True North started challenging the mainstream narrative, they were banned from government press conferences. When truckers protested against government overreach in 2022, the media painted them as extremists instead of listening to their grievances. The government funds fact-checkers to police information online, determining what is misinformation and what is acceptable to say. Social media companies face pressure to silence dissenting views, and alternative voices are demonized. In a true democracy, ideas compete freely, but in Canada, the government and its media allies decide what's allowed to be heard. Next time on The Problems with Canada. If Canada's elections, courts, and media are rigged to keep power in Ottawa, what happens when that power is abused? Next time we expose the corruption scandals that have rocked Canada, from SNC-Lavalin to Trudeau's foreign interference cover-ups, and how scandal after scandal keeps getting buried.